When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, happy Friday, everybody. We are back, and you know what that means? It means a UFC event is coming up tomorrow, and that event is UFC Vegas 28. Back inside the Octagon after a week off for the long holiday weekend here in the United States. As we welcome you to the live UFC Vegas 28 preview show here on MMAfighting.com. Hope you're all having a wonderful Friday. Hope you all have taken advantage of free donut day wherever you are, if you have it. I know I had to do so for my kid, who, like most donuts I get him, didn't eat the damn thing, and it just got wasted. But it was the thought that counts. I am Mike Heck. Jose Youngs is here. Did you get
Of course I got my free donut. I represented Dunkin' Donuts all the way out here in Phoenix. There's not a lot out here, but you know I had to go find some for National Donut Day, which we found out before we got on, started in 1938 to support World War I. So if you hate the troops, apparently, you won't eat a donut today. AK, did you eat a donut?
No.
There you go.
Get your clickbait headlines. Well, get your clickbait headlines ready. Go ahead. Frame it however you want. You click your clickbait artists. All right. Do what you want with it.
No one even got you a birthday donut, AK. This is tomfoolery.
Yeah.
Sure. I know.
AK's birthday happens to fall on National Donut Day.
It's amazing. Maybe that's why I forgot. Yeah. Maybe that's why I forgot. I didn't get a donut.
Well, how are you, AK, outside of neglecting the donut world today?
I'm excited. We're back, guys. We're back. Oh, the long national nightmare is over. We're back after no UFC. What did you guys do with your lives last weekend?
I mowed the lawn and helped my parents move and got a dog. That was my weekend.
The Holy Trinity.
That's a lot.
I just prepped for this preview show all week.
Yeah,
the whole week.
I know. Every time I sent you a message, Kate, you were like, preview show. I'm like, no, Casey, I'm just saying hello. I'm just saying, how are you right. doing? And you're just like, oh. And then you're like, don't bother me unless it's about the preview show. Yeah. And I'm like, all right.
Okay, fine, let us test this theory, because that will kind of segue into like what we're going to discuss to kick things off. Casey, what is the first fight of the night? What is the opening fight?
Without peeking over the topology page. Cheating. I know this one. My boy. The boy Roxy Modafferi. The boy version of him. Roxy.
Jordan Levitt,
yeah. Mr. I murdered Matt Wyman, yeah.
Yes. See the first fight? Jordan Levitt.
Yes,
Jordan. Yes, Levitt. Versus Claudio Pérez. Who's he fighting? Very good.
Oh, okay. That'd have been too tough, I guess.
You should know. He would know the answer to that. He produced that interview with Jordan Levitt that you can now watch on our YouTube page. Yeah. So good for you, Casey. You really have spent the time prepping for this card, and it might be a good thing for the casual MMA fan, because the UFC is back with an interesting card. Of course, all signs point to next weekend, UFC 263 in Glendale, Arizona. We get the two title fights, the two rematches, Adesanya versus Vettori. We got Figueiredo versus Moreno 2 for the flyweight title. Of course, we got Leon Edwards versus Nate Diaz, but this Saturday is a different story. We have heavyweights colliding in the main and the co-main event. The main event being Jairzinho Rozenstruik versus Augusto Sakai. And AK, I'm going to begin with you. We talked about this on Between the Links yesterday. If you told me a year ago that Augusto Sakai's next two fights inside the octagon would be main events, I would at least look at you funny. I might not laugh in your face, but I might just be like, don't really know if that's true. But turns out that is the world we live in. What do you think of this matchup to headline the UFC's return tomorrow?
am I jumping the gun? I know we're going to talk about other matches from the card. Am I jumping the gun here by saying why is Martin Tabura not in the main event? Is that wrong for me to ask? Is that an absurd question to ask? The man is on a 4-fight win streak. I know he went 4-0 in 2020. I can't remember if he got, like, I gotta look if he got a win before that. But he is on one of the longest streaks in the heavyweight division. He took their business, and, you know, they matched up with Greg Hardy. Pretty high profile fight, given Hardy's, you know, fame or notoriety, however you want to put it. So I thought that was a nice win. So one last four. So he's only behind Francis Ngannou and Ciryl Gane when it comes to win streaks. So I don't know. Yeah, Mike, even you say if you'd asked me a year ago, if you asked me now about like Sakai and Rozenstruik being in the main event, I find it strange. They're both coming off of losses. It's not like Jairzinho's last performance was like super exciting. I understand. I think of the four heavyweights in the top two fights, I guess Jairzinho's kind of the biggest name of the four, but I don't know. They like Walt Harris. They seem to like him. He could have been the main event too. I don't know. These top two fights in general are just kind of like, it's an odd way to cap off a UFC card, isn't it?
So if you were the builder of these cards, you would put Walt Harris versus Tabura in the main event over this one?
Yes. And Tabura would be the A side. I'd give it to John Anik, the man around which this card was built, Martin Tabura. I just want to hear that. Is that wrong? He deserves it.
No. Yeah, listen, he does. He's been on a good streak. He has quietly amassed this really impressive winning streak. Yeah. If he beats Walt Harris, it's five in a row.
What was his last loss, though?
Oh, I don't remember.
You were there, AK. I'll give you that hint.
What?
Yeah, he got knocked out in 59 seconds by the one and only Augusto Sakai. Back-to-back main eventer, Augusto Sakai.
I'm looking now. September 2019. That's a lifetime ago.
It happens.
Or a year and a half, whatever.
All right, but he's bounced back.
He knocked out Martin Tabura on your birthday, AK. How do you not remember?
Again, the fact that it's on my birthday makes me forget all these things, but that was so long ago. I feel like Tabura certainly has to have passed him Tabura's only 11th in the rank. Yeah. Why?
Because all of his wins have been against unranked fighters. He's beaten unranked fighters and lost to ranked fighters. That's literally his UFC career.
I don't like this. He should be in the main event. I don't like this. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. I'm the prince of positivity. I'm sorry, guys. Let's go to someone else. I hate to start off on a negative note. I'm sure Jose or Casey can explain why, or yourself can explain why this is a thrilling main event and why I am being an unnecessary Debbie Downer here.
No, I don't think none of these like follow-ups were necessarily asked to you because we thought you were a Debbie Downer. I thought it was a very interesting point, and I'm not against it. I feel like this main event is kind of funny to begin with. And in fact, I'm not going to steal Jose Young's thunder because he said this in a way yesterday on Between the Links. I don't think either of these two fights should be the main event. There is another fight on this main card that I think would be an even better main event, Jose. I'm not going to steal it from you. I'll let you say it again for those who missed BTL yesterday.
Yeah, Santiago Ponzinibbio versus Miguel Baeza checks all of my boxes on what I want to see inside the octagon. Like Miguel Baeza is every definition of the word a high-level welterweight prospect. You know, he comes from the Contender Series, and then he hasn't reached the third round in any of his fight. I mean, he fought Matt Brown in his second UFC fight in Jacksonville, and I asked him, I was like, did you have any like weird... Like you see Matt Brown standing opposite Freeman in the octagon. Do you have any like weird flashbacks like watching him on TV? And he was like, oh my God, I was so stressed and so nervous. And then he went out there and finished Matt Brown. And he was I believe that fight was supposed to be in the Columbus, Ohio card, right? Like, so he accepted to fight Matt Brown in Matt Brown's backyard in his second ever UFC fight. This dude's about that life. I'm all about it. And then obviously Santiago Ponzinibbio. He's coming off that bad knockout loss to the Leech Li Jingliang on Fight Island. But he's been kind of a stalwart of the division. He's been in a ton of exciting fights. He's been in some high level. He's faced like extremely high level competition at welterweight. So I love everything about this fight. I get why they didn't put it as a main event against a guy who's only 3-0 in the UFC and then someone coming off a bad knockout loss after a very long layoff. But to me, this is the fight I am most excited for in terms of action. I don't know how else to say it. Out of both fight cards, because I'm sure we're going to have to talk about it, the boxing card and the UFC card, I have to say this is the most high-level martial arts competition out there, I think, and it's the one I'm most looking forward to. I know there's the circus in town on Sunday, but of both cards, I am most excited for Ponzinibbio versus Baeza.
Yeah, it's a great fight. Main event is interesting. I mean, you get two ranked guys. I don't know. It's just, I'm not going to call this like, it's no, I'm not going to say throwaway card. It's not a throwaway card, but it's a card, right? It's, as AK would say, it's a card. It's a fight. It's just there for us to watch on a Saturday if we want to watch it. Like, it's, there's no heavy push behind this one. It's just, here you go. You want to watch fights on Saturday? Here's 14 of them for you. Your thoughts on this main event, Casey?
No, I agree with AK. I wish, I wish Tybura was in the main event. I don't care against who. Honestly, it could have been against Harris, Sakai, or Rosenstruck, Biggie Boy. could have been against any of those. I think Tybura, after finishing and defeating Greg Hardy, his last performance, I think he deserved a main event push for him. Yeah, but this card, like, yeah, you said, like, I mean, you said, like, heck, it's a card, technically. there's no real high stakes, you know, outside of just, you know, these guys' own careers, you know, but there's none of these fights, you know, every good fight night card, I feel like you should have one fight, go, ooh, whoever wins this might get the title shot, but there's nothing on this card that suggests that there's going to be some sort of title shot for any of the winners, no matter how impressive it is. But yeah, Miguel Baeza, that's gonna be a fun fight. See if Ponzinibbio can kind of get back to his, you know, top five ranking or what he had before, you know, his million injuries. But
I think he was sick. I think he had like a bone disease, didn't he?
He was out
like
for something a while,
like,
I mean, yeah.
Like he had a bone infection, so it wasn't even like an ACL or anything. It was like he physically like couldn't move, yeah. Which is insane.
Yeah, it's a card. Biggie Boy, I don't know. I like saying Biggie Boy's name, so that's
fine. And look, I think it's okay to have cards where, you know, where there isn't always, you know, title implications, things like that. It's just, if it's not going to be a card with number one contender implications or some, you know, undefeated person at the top that they're pushing really hard, it's like, you'd like to have maybe a few more, at least some recognizable names or stylistic matchups that are kind of guaranteed to like put on like bangers. I'm not saying this card can't do that. I'm just saying, honestly, I can't lie to America. I'm not as familiar with a lot of these fighters. Like, I mean, I've seen them all fight, but maybe like at least once or twice, but that doesn't mean I'm familiar enough with them where I feel comfortable saying like, oh, Makwan Amirkhani versus Kamala Kirk is definitely going to be a banger. I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, it could be, but the only one like, yeah, the only one, like Jose said, Ponzinibbio Baeza is the one where I think we've seen enough from both guys where we can be like, oh yeah, like this is either going to be Friday Night Front Runner or should have been the main event, right?
And there's a lot of fights on the preliminary card specifically where I'm very interested in one of the fighters in like almost every single card.
Exactly.
Almost every single fight.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Even going up to the main card, like I'm very curious about very specific fighters.
Yeah.
The fight itself, though, with both dance partners, I am Ponzinibbio Baeza is the one I'm most excited for.
Yeah, because like I want to see Mason Jones again. That fight with Mike Davis was so much fun. I want to see him again. I want to see Manon Fiorot. I think she could be a contender at flyweight. We'll see, right? But you're right. As far as like the actual, will these be good fights? I can't speak to the matchups that well.
I'm excited for Zalal and Woodson. I enjoy
that's a good. That's a good.
I love Sean Woodson is Team Jose. For sure. But Zalal's great too, because I spent some time with Zalal on Fight Island and he's just a very funny character. Like when he's not talking about fights, he's just fun to talk to. Yeah, so that fight rules too, but I don't know how great it will be, but it's fun.
Yeah, it's one of the things that stuck out in the Jordan Levitt conversation about Claudio Playas is like he's not a guy, he's just going to tell you like it is. And I feel like their styles are kind of similar. And I brought that up to him and he goes, yeah, so this fight could be really awkward. Like, it could be a really awkward, weird fight. I'm just throwing it out there. Like, I hope it doesn't. I want to put on a show for you guys, but like, I'm just being honest. This might be a weird, kind of strange fight. So it's just one of those kinds of cards.
Which book is he reading?
He promoted, I forget what exactly, series.
He was on a dive with Stephen King the last time I chatted with him.
No, he didn't mention Stephen King. Well, you know, go to our YouTube page and watch our interview, and he'll tell you.
There we go. Good plug.
The last question of the interview. The last question of the interview, so go check that out. There is a series he promoted.
To get to that. Don't skip around. Yeah. Just, you gotta build up to it. Yeah.
He's a very interesting guy, and he's working with Neil Melanson now, and just hearing like the influence Neil Melanson's had on him is pretty fascinating stuff. So, and listen, I'm not trying to be a downer either. It's just, this is what it is. And it's not the fighter's fault that this is what we're getting for a card. Like, I'm watching no matter what. I'm excited for some of these fights. And I think usually when we talk about these cards in this fashion, they deliver on Saturday. And you know, we talk about it like this is a pretty fun card. It lived up to or exceeded expectations. And this has the potential to do that. Absolutely. There's for the casual viewer. Like if I were to call my little brother up right now and say, you watching the UFC tomorrow, chances are he's going to say no.
It's a weird main event.
Why is there not more of a push behind Miguel Baeza? Like, why does he not get the? I mean, I'm probably asking questions that I at least someone know the answer to, but I don't mind throwing a question out there. Why does he not get the Sean O'Malley treatment? You know what I mean? Why does he not get this big? And he comes from Contender Series. Like, if there's any evidence, you know, if they love promoting that show, he's such a great success story from it. He finished his first two UFC fights. He beat Matt Brown. Why is there not a bigger push behind this guy? It's so frustrating. Well, it almost feels like
he's fighting Ponzinibbio. Is that the push? When you say bigger push, what do you mean? What do you mean?
I mean, how many people do you think are aware this fight is happening?
I get what he's saying. Like, because like when Sean O'Malley fights, he's always one of those guest fighter Q&As, and like he's always like, "Oh, tune in with Daniel Cormier and Sean O'Malley as Megan O'Leary interviews them and stuff like that." I get what he's saying.
He's got a personality. He's got a personality. I get it. Like Sean O'Malley has a personality.
Sean O'Malley also he's pushing himself.
I understand.
O'Malley also kind of a certain demographic. Like he's reaches a certain demographic that like say like Ryan Garcia, the boxer. Maybe he's not the best boxer in the world, but he's by far the most popular with a certain demographic of kids. I think Sean O'Malley fits right into that same category.
But that's what's so the frustrating thing we always bring up with the UFC is we know that they can give guys a platform to promote themselves. Why can they not help to promote guys who maybe aren't as good at self-promotion and don't immediately appeal to, you know, making that impact with a certain demographic? This is where the UFC always falls short. And again, we're broken record with this sort of thing, but I hope if he wins, definitely if he beats a guy like Ponzinibbio, man, get behind this guy. Really find ways to showcase. Again, Mike, I'm sorry, have you interviewed Baeza before?
It's been a while. I interviewed him before the Contender Series and right before his debut, but that was the last time I've talked to him.
Is he a very verbose guy? Is he more reserved?
No, he's not going to sit there and create a bunch of clickbaity headlines, but he's right. a very fun dude. He's a fun guy and he's a great fighter. What, unfortunately, like guys like Baeza, even like Kevin Holland, like I was interviewing him on the regional scene. And I was like, good Lord, like this guy has something. And even when he was like winning, you know, a fight here and there, like people were like, oh, why isn't he at the point? It's unfortunately, it's going to take a lot of activity to maybe get him over the hump. Like, I went over, they're certainly setting him up at the right fights. I mean, your second UFC fight, you're knocking out Mac Brown. Then you get the Sato fight. But I mean, that was his third different opponent and second different date. And now he's getting Ponzinibbio on this card. And it's sort of the quote unquote people's main event. So they're putting him in like good spots. I just think it's more like at his point, like with where he's at right now, the more you see him, the more over he's going to get. So if he could go out there and get a quick win and stop Ponzinibbio and then bounce back, like, you know, 2 months later and get another win, like the familiarity factor, especially in this sport, is very prevalent. And if he could do that and, you know, stay pretty active, fight 3 or 4 times this year, I think he has a good shot, especially if he wins all of these fights, to be in a really good spot at the end of the year.
Push Baeza, push Marcin Tybura. I don't ask for a lot.
Marcin Tybura has had a main event fight against a former UFC champion.
Yes.
It was 5 rounds, and I know what happened, but I don't remember anything that happened in the fight. I think that might be probably the reason they want to give him a five.
So amazing! It was probably so amazing. That's all just a
love. Do you know where that fight took place? Do you know where that fight?
I don't even know who. I don't even know what fight.
He fought Fabrizio Verdun for 25 minutes in Sydney, Australia. Exactly. You all look confused. That's probably why Martin's a bird. Exactly.
You could be making that up. You could be making that up right now. And honestly,
that was five rounds. That was a five round fight. And I can't, like, do you know the co-main event of that card was Jesse Jess and Beck Rollins? Like, that was that card. Australia. So it's like, no one remembers that card. Yeah. In Australia. Two Australian fighters fought each other in Australia.
I remember that fight and not the Tabura Verdun fight for some
reason. Because Tabura had another like very okay win over Andrei Arlovsky in Singapore. And then people were like, oh, should he get a main event? I'm like, I don't want to. Like, I watched that Arlovsky fight and because it was like 3 a.m. over here and I had to stay up and recap. And I was like, I don't want to see Martin Tabura for 5 rounds. And then they gave him 5 rounds and it was exactly what I thought was going to happen. It was a fight and he lost all 5 rounds. But maybe that's why they don't want to give another 5 round fight against a ranked opponent.
Look, I'm guilty of this. I remember tweeting, I think whatever, maybe a couple, whatever before, obviously before 2020, or maybe in the middle of 2020, when Tabura was in his run, something like Martin Tabura has had 10 UFC fights and I cannot tell you like a single thing about them. So I'm guilty of this. I am guilty of this. But 2020 opened my eyes. It opened my eyes.
The problem with Martin Tabura, and I said this when he beat Greg Hardy, because everyone's like, oh, he finished Greg Hardy and this and that. I'm like, Greg Hardy, like his lungs gave out after one round, which is like, and then Martin Tabura beat him. But he was a heavyweight and he rattled off like 4 or 5 decisions in a row with like no real highlights. And then he got sparked by Sakai, Shamil, Derek Lewis, and then he had the 5 round fight against Verdun. Maybe that's why they don't want to give him 5 rounds because he either dies in there or puts on like just a fight. He wins, he gets second half of his paycheck, but that's it. No real highlights. You can't remember the fights because there's nothing memorable about them.
Well, I'm glad we've given him his time. That's for sure on this show. I'm glad we've done our part. That's all I wanted. That's all I want, and I hope the UFC does the same if he wins on Saturday.
And you know what's you know what's kind of crazy about this whole thing? You could have given him any other fight and he might have like a bit of support behind him. But you're putting him up against Walt Harris. Like, everybody wants to see Walt Harris get a win right now. This is a bad spot for him. It's not a good spot for a guy who's trying to get over the hump. He's got a 4-fight winning streak. He's trying to get that notoriety that he searches for. And then you have to fight Walt Harris. Like, everyone's cheering for Walt Harris in this fight. Everybody.
Walt Harris is coming off 2 really bad losses. And so if Tabura if he wants to jump up the ranks, you know, he's going to have to smash Walt Harris, which will be his 3rd bad loss if it happens. And it's just like, the story is going to be about Walt Harris. No matter what happens, the story is going to be about Walt Harris. If Walt Harris wins big, it's about Walt Harris, of course. If he loses big, Walt Harris loses big, it's still about Walt Harris. It won't be about Tabura. So, it sucks for Tabura. it's not a good fight for him. I mean,
not great.
He might win, but as far as popularity, notoriety, yeah. I like his voice. He has a really high voice. His English.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah, I like him, but he doesn't look the part. Basically, Tabura, unfortunately, doesn't look or act the part, and for what the UFC wants. So maybe
if Jan wins, or if Tabura wins. Stick him on that Chicago, like I've heard rumblings of a Chicago card maybe in September, which is a huge Polish population. Stick Tabura and Jan on that card. Maybe that'll be enough to, you know, give him a little push in the States.
Yeah. I mean, we saw the electricity behind Tony Ferguson in Houston. It was crazy. Like the guy was the star of the show. He could have entered that fight on a 13-fight losing streak. It wouldn't have mattered. You would have forgot all about it. Listening to all that. So as of right now, for those who are interested in the betting odds, Rozenstruik is a slight favorite, -120. Some have it as like a straight pick 'em. Tabor is a -175 favorite against Walt Harris. And Miguel Baez is the slight favorite, -120 against Santiago Ponzinibbio. Comeback is +100. So some pretty evenly matched fights here. I think there's only like a couple of examples where there's like massive lines. Like Manon Fiorio is the biggest favorite on the card at minus 525 against the newcomer Tabitha Ricci. Yeah. Woodson's the favorite over Zalal. Jordan Levin's a 2-1 favorite over Claudio Pueyas, which is interesting. Since Pueyas, this is like his fifth or sixth UFC fight, so we'll see. And he's got two, and he's coming in on a 2-fight winning streak.
He's been up for a while, though.
Year and a half, yeah.
This has been up for a while.
Yeah, September of 2019, I think the last time he fought. So what are the peeps saying about this wonderful card? And if you guys want to talk about the circus, too, we can certainly talk about that. Mayweather versus Logan Paul coming up on Sunday. We could certainly discuss that. I don't know if it can get any better than the last 6 minutes in between the links yesterday when Jose and Jed Meshew laid out their dream scenarios for how that fight plays out.
We'll have that clip out there, but or just go to our YouTube page. So it was good. It was good.
Yeah. Yes. What are the peeps saying about
any predictions? Or just want to go to the peeps right now?
Yeah, we'll do some predictions. Jose, who wins the main event?
Jairzinho stops him in 3.
Casey.
Sakai decision.
AK.
Rozenstruik decision.
Marcin Tybura cashes in his money in the bank and wins. No, Rozenstruik, I think I'm going to say like third or fourth round finish for Jairzinho, but I think he's going to be down on the scorecards and like he's going to be down at least 2 rounds by the time he gets the finish. So it's going to go in the books in the recaps as a comeback win, but I think he lands the big shot at some point and wins.
Yeah. I think Sakai's cardio, I think, kind of played a big factor in him losing to Overeem because he looked good against Overeem for a minute. And then Overeem's, I think we all agreed it was like.
He won the first 2 rounds, I think.
That just comes down to veteran game. Like, you know, main event, you just blow your gas in like 2 rounds. And then Overeem's like, I'm just going to smoke you right now. So that's just learning with experience.
Yeah. Well, you tired, bro? You tired? Okay. Well, yeah. Here we go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the guys look great. And I mean, you knocked out Tabor. He's looking great in the UFC. I mean, he's a Bellator washout. I mean, come on.
I was there for his Blagoy Ivanov fight, and that was a fight that existed.
I'm trying to remember that. I remember it being like a super close fight, and I thought Ivanov won.
But that was the day after that was the first fight card after the first Fight Island. That was the first Apex card when like no one really knew what was happening. That was when the media room was still out in the tent in the parking lot. So it was like 1,000 degrees in like May, and everyone was just like, let's just move along.
Oh, that was that card. That wasn't the Jacksonville card. That's right.
No.
Is anyone asking about Casey? Are there any questions about the other heavyweight fight in the card? Because I do want to hope we talk about it before.
Sorry,
we got another big boy fight. Oh, thank you, Matthew Wells. Matthew Wells of MMA Junkie, or is this another Matthew Wells?
Rob,
thank you, Matthew.
That looks like that profile pic looks like Brock from Pokemon. Yeah.
What were you asking? Are there any questions about the Tanner Boser fight? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, man. Is anyone asking about Tanner Boser?
Sledgehammer?
Nothing.
I was going to say, or the Alir Latifi fight.
Bulldozer versus the Sledgehammer right there.
I like Tanner Boser. He had a little 15 minutes of nothing against Arlovsky, and like there's no buzz on him anymore. I love Tanner Boser. That's right.
It's one of those interesting fights that got... It's one of those things that, like, until I looked at it the other day, I had no idea it was happening on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah. Ilir Latifi's first, like, are we still calling this the pandemic era?
Well, there's no fans, so let's go for it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. His last fight was Derek Lewis in sold out Houston. He has not fought since.
Oh, that was on the card. Reyes.
You know the fight the fight that he beat Derek Lewis?
Yeah, that was potential home cooking.
Nah, Derek has won that. Crazy.
It was close. I mean, it happened.
I thought
Derek Lewis definitely landed heavier shots, but it was like one of those fights where he would lose for like 4.5 minutes and then he just punched the soul out of Latifi for 30 seconds.
And we say lose. I mean, it was Latifi just holding. I wouldn't say
it was like, please don't hit me.
Controlling the octagon. Yeah. I would say that.
It wasn't even controlling the octagon. He's like, I'm just going to take you off your feet and hold you so you don't punch me. And Derek Lewis decided enough was enough after 4 minutes every round.
Did he finish?
And he punched him.
Was it a,
No.
He won a split.
Now, I'm pretty sure that was a split decision.
Lewis won a split, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bozer just hilariously answered a troll on Twitter. Someone, I guess because they did the, you guys saw this, they did the face off, and I guess Aaliyah was not wearing a mask and Tanner Bozer was. And I don't know what Tanner Bozer's policy on masks is, but this answer is hilarious either way. Someone's like, oh, this is a real man versus a guy wearing a mask. And then Tanner Bozer goes like, they gave me a mask and told me to wear it, you stupid C word. not a nice word. So no tolerance for trolls. Yes. No tolerance for trolls, Tanner Bozer.
He's my favorite fighter when it comes to that stuff. There's nobody better.
Yeah, he
okay. Tanner Bozer made me feel like an ass face one time because I was in the media doing the post press scrum, and on the broadcast they kept saying Tanner Bozer is so fast, you know, he could cut down to 205. So I kind of asked him, I was like, is 205 a possibility? He's like, that's the dumbest thing anyone's ever said. I'm like, well, geez, Bisbee said it. No one make fun of him.
It is physically possible. I mean, should he try and cut down to that? No, maybe not. But he's not that much bigger than Latifi. I mean, if you look at Latifi, who fought at 205 for a while,
he's like a Pat Barry bot. He has like a Pat Barry bot.
Yeah. He probably could if like he really wanted to make 205. You're not an ass face, Casey. You're not for that reason, anyway. For that particular reason, you are not an ass face. All
right. I think Bozer came in heavier this time, didn't he? Like in the 240 range?
I think they're both around 2, because I think Latifi also came in 240 this time.
He's from Canada, right?
He is from Canada, Alberta.
Yeah. Yeah. Our own Damon Martin was like writing a piece on like a Canadian prospect, I think. And he was asking me for in the last 5 years outside of Rory McDonald, like, has there been who's the next big Canadian fighter that has like been a contender? And I was like, Julia Budd.
Yeah.
And then I was trying to rattle off all the Canadian fighters I could tell. He goes, wow. And then it dawned on me, like, there really hasn't been one since Rory or like GSP. I guess Felicia Spencer. No,
we're struggling.
But
our amateur scene up here sucks. Not the fighters suck.
Who's the next guy? Like who's realistically who could like Hakeem Duwadu? Probably.
Oh, in the UFC right now, yeah. I like Jourdain, but I don't know if I'd put him up there.
He's 3-3, and Duwadu's actually ranked, and he's had matchups. Like, he was supposed to fight Burgos before.
Is Kevin Lee still training at TriStar? Because I was just caught.
And he is my cousin. So there's definitely some Canadian there. Yeah.
Rory McDonald's not even a TriStar anymore.
I cannot believe Anthony Romero didn't get a contract on the Contender Series. You need Canadian prospects. That kid is a legit Canadian prospect. And he had a great performance on the Contender Series. And he got shunned by Dana White because he took it was like one of those, oh, he went for a takedown. He turned off the gas in the third round, didn't look for the finish. It was such a travesty that kid didn't get a contract. So just not in the UFC.
How dare he mix the martial arts?
Oh,
you're not. You're out of here. You're out.
Arjun Buller is like, he's a champ, but I think people look at him and they don't see Canadian MMA fight. We obviously know, but.
Right.
I wonder why.
Right.
Thank you, Mariners fan, in the comments. he's pointing out Bozer weighed in 242. Aaliyah was 240. So both guys are on 240 this time.
Okay, yeah, I meant just like Bozer compared to like his last couple fights, because remember where he slimmed down a bit and got down to like, I don't know if he ever got to like the upper 220s, but he was like the low 230s for sure.
Yeah, like 235, something like that. Casey, do you see this question from Brian S. about the fight that shall not be named on Sunday?
Because
I do want to answer this.
We'll get to it later.
Of course.
Okay. You're building up to it.
Of course, talking about Chad Ochocinco versus Brian Maxwell, right?
Brian Maxwell, yes.
Chad Johnson.
Or Badu Jack. Badu Jack.
Oh, he's back to Chad Johnson now?
He's been Chad Johnson since he left the NFL.
Oop. Jairzinho, Crystal King.
Yeah, just after Jared Cannon's social media kind of spiraled there for a bit. Jessica deems Jairzinho as the new Crystal King.
All right. Congratulations, Jairzinho.
Crystal King Lifugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugug
I believe it's Let's Flipping Go.
Let's Flipping
It's actually
go.
Stands for it's Left Foot God.
Left Foot God. Oh,
I thought it was Looking for Groot, but that she's playing some MMO, some online RPG and is looking for a group. I think they need a tank for the MMO, but okay, fair enough.
All right. Questions.
Yeah, we'll take anything at this point.
Hey, y'all.
Do you think that the Rose Strike Sakai fight actually has an effect on the heavyweight rankings? Will it matter who wins?
Will it matter who wins?
No. Okay,
like in life.
So we talked about this on Between the Links yesterday, and Jed and Jose gave their takes on this. So I guess I'll kind of spin this into sort of that question to you, AK. Who needs this one more? Like, who needs this win more? Both guys obviously need it, but who needs it more? Who is in more of a must-win situation tomorrow?
Oh, Sakai definitely needs it. Sakai definitely needs it. I think I joked. What was the show we were doing earlier this week? The A-side to Jose, where someone was like, where do you see these guys in a year or something? And I kind of joked, like, Sakai will be in the PFL contending for $1 million. It sounds like a diss, but I don't think fighting the PFL is a bad thing. I think there's some good heavyweights there, so I don't think that's the worst thing. Two, it's like I just also think like, yes, it's good that he's getting, like we said, he's getting another main event. So clearly there is some faith in him from the matchmakers, but I also think they see him as a B-side, as a perpetual B-side heavyweight, and that does not give you a lot of job security. So he does need this. Also, if we're just talking about the UFC rankings, he would jump up because Rosenstrike is 6 in the official UFC rankings. Sakai is 9. So I do think he probably would take his spot because then Walt Harris above him and Shamil Abdurakhimov. So so maybe Abdurakhimov would get bumped up to 6. Sakai would probably be 7th. And then it would shake down from there. But because if Rosenstruik wins, he's not going above into the top 5. He's number 6 right now. He's not breaking the top 5 with a win over Sakai. So he does need the win to hold onto his spot, but I think Sakai has a lot more to lose. I think he's a lot closer to like legitimately one loss away, or maybe another bad loss away, should he lose on Saturday, from maybe not being with the UFC anymore.
Yeah, and kind of going to you, Casey, this is one of those, like Rob Font's fighting Cody Garbrandt like 2 weeks ago. We're like, where does it put like the winner in the title conversation? And like after Font's performance, like you can conceivably see him fighting for a title like within his next 2 fights, like just based on where the division stands right now. Whoever wins this fight is not 2 fights away from fighting for a belt. So they're probably like 5 fights away from fighting for the belt because you got Francis, you got Derek Lewis, you got John Jones, you got Stipe, you got Ciryl Gane, and that's just like naming 5 of them right off the top, like right there. Neither of these guys can leapfrog any of these guys, can they?
Definitely not Sakai. Biggie Boy, maybe like a 30-second finish type of thing, you know, where he can maybe get a quick turnaround and, you know, he fights for cheaper than those other gentlemen. Maybe for financial reasons, Rosenstruik could leapfrog, but Sakai, no. It's just a fight. I agree with AK. Sakai, this is a much more important fight for Sakai to win because like you said, he's kind of he's like a main card B-side to the UFC, and if he loses, if he loses bad and the UFC released him, I don't think there'll be much uproar from the fans going, hey, you know. So Sakai needs this win, and which is why I picked Sakai by decision, because I don't expect a exciting win. I think this is going to be – Sakai needs that victory, so I'm not expecting fireworks in this main event if Sakai wins.
Jose, is the co-main event of Tybura and Harris, is this positioned for easy seed-planting matchmaking? Like the 2 winners of these fights will fight each other?
You would assume so, but I think it's all about timing and how like depending on how fighters come out healthy, unscathed, whatever. Because like Jairzinho won, like he won that fight like real quick against Arlovsky, and then immediately turned around and says, "I'll fight over him. He needs a new fight," and got that quick turnaround fight like that, and then that put him on the map. So maybe he does that again, gets a quick finish, and then calls out the co-main event for another quick turnaround. But Tabura, he's been knocked dead a lot in the past. Walt Harris has knocked a lot of people dead, as Walt Harris said. Walt Harris believes he has the best striking in the heavyweight division, which Alexander Volkov openly laughed at Media Day when that was brought to his attention. So I think realistically, if the two winners come out unscathed, sure. I mean, I wouldn't hate that fight. But we also have the Volkov-Cyril Gane fight down the road. If, say, Cyril Gane wins, I wouldn't hate seeing, like, I want to see Jairzinho and Volkov fight. I think that would be a fun fight. Or Walt Harris and Cyril Gane or any of those guys. But I just think we got to see how these fights play out first before we can really fantasy matchmake. That's for all we know. It's okay. 2 6-month suspensions. Like, cause what if someone gets a massive, like Jairzinho ripped a man's face open in the fifth round. So for all we know, that could happen again. And then his 6-month suspension.
Yeah, but Overeem healed like in 30 seconds.
Yeah, but Overeem is literally a robot.
5 months later.
Yeah. The dude is made of a, like, that dude is a different breed of humanity.
I understand what you're saying.
True. All right, what else we got?
Okay.
Like, it's like, is Alistair Overeem better than all four men in the main and co-main event? I know Jairzinho won, but like,
yeah,
we kind of, everyone kind of views that as a loss almost, because he was losing that whole fight until he landed that punch.
I would have Overeem over all four of these
gentlemen. Yeah,
I would have Verdum over all four of these. I mean, thinking of like these kind of UFC heavyweight stages.
Maybe Verdum in 2021 versus Jairzinho would be interesting. It would be interesting. I think Jairzinho is clearly the second best of, if you include Overeem in that group, but I miss watching Alistair Overeem in the UFC or just fighting in general.
He could be used in a lot of ways and in a lot of good ways right now. He's a name they would probably like to have at this point. And JDS, if we're being honest.
What you going to do?
Two Argentinians on the same card. What? First in UFC history. Dr. Alan Grant. What? Coming through.
I was not aware of that.
I got to fact check.
That's not true. There was a fight in Argentina that had Argentinians on the card.
Were they both on the main card? Is Dr. Alan Grant lying to us?
Oh, is it main card or
main card? Well, we'll pretend
he said same card. He said same card. I thought he said same card.
So it's all on. All right. Hold on. Let's go ahead. You guys discuss
Guido Canetti and Santiago Ponzinibbio. I'm pretty sure we're both on the main card in Buenos Aires. Also, I'm like 90% sure.
And by the way, Stroffoli was also on that card. So,
yes. There were three then.
So there was three. So yeah, sorry.
This is the first time there were two. Yeah. So Dr. Grant is
specifically okay. That's specifically the first time there was only two.
No, apologies, real news. Dr. Grant.
Apologies, doctor. Yes, that is real news. But yes, Stroffoli and Ponzinibbio will be fighting on Saturday's card for all you Argentinians out there.
Right. That was one of my first cards at MMA. I had to cover MMA fighting.
I don't know very much about betting, so.
No, again, my advice is always, I'm not touching this, because my advice is always don't bet.
Yes, the man with all the predictions, Mr. AK. I'm trying to, nothing like really, I would say throw money on Ricci,
just because. The line's crazy. I know we have high expectations for Fierro. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Fierro.
It's Fierro. Fierro. Okay. I'm sorry. I know you guys are, you did not do French. As we did in Canada.
Canadian French.
It is Manon Fierro.
Manon Fierro.
I guess. Nailed it. You nailed Manon. It. Yeah, I don't even see odds for this fight. I don't know. Are there odds for this fight, Mike?
Oh, yeah. Fierro is the biggest favorite on the card. -525.
I'm surprised, because this was like 3 days ago this fight was made. Oh, they don't care. Yes. They'll let people bet on anything. What am I saying?
Yeah, I would say I mean, there's a couple of interesting ones. I'd say Zalal is an interesting look at plus at dog money, plus 155. Needs a win badly here against Sean Woodson. Especially if that fight gets extended, that's when things are really going to get interesting. I think Kamella Kirk is an interesting short notice dog without a lot to lose. Very talented guy. He's been waiting for his shot for a while. Makwan Amirkhani is a good fighter, but that's not a bad one. Even Latifi's not a bad look at plus 160 against Tanner Bozier. I favor Tanner in that fight, but if Aliyah can put him on his back and hold him down, makes things interesting. So, but nothing like jumps off the page for me in terms of like, I wouldn't tell you who to bet on anyways, but there's no like super live dogs and I'm like, ooh, this one's like really fascinating.
I was seriously throwing money at Ricci just because there's an unknown about her. She's super small. She's a straw weight. She's a 5'1" straw weight going against a 5'7" Manofero. And
back to the way you were doing it before. Go back to what you were doing before.
Manofero. So I mean, there's just we just don't know about Faro's ground game at all. So maybe she just might get laid on for 15 minutes. I'm just talking throwing money at the line. I'm not actually picking Ricci, but if we're gonna try to make some money here. Otherwise, I have no clue.
Well, how much of an underdog was Ricci, Mike, again?
Plus 415.
Yeah.
There's a lot. This is my first time really looking at the odds. There's a lot of, like, almost everyone on the prelims who's a favorite, like, almost a 2-1 or 3-1 favorite.
Let's see. Levitt's a 2-1 favorite. Yeah. Salikov's 2.5-1 favorite. Mason Jones, almost a 3-1 favorite.
Doesn't that seem a little high?
Mason Jones is he was a champ or just a champ?
He was a champ in Cage Warriors.
When he lost on Fight Island, and I think that was the fight, Mike, if I remember correctly. We kind of circled that as like the dark horse fight of the night, and then it was fight of the night going into that. He apparently had no desire for the UFC doctors to get near him. After that fight, like he's like, everyone get out of my face. And I saw Sean Shelby kind of in the hotel just be like, you can't do that anymore. Like had to kind of get, it was like a dad talking to his son because he was like, that fight was brutal to watch. That was just like two guys just hitting each other with hammers. And then he's like, listen, they're there for you. Don't yell at our doctors.
Yeah, that dude,
I think Mason Jones is training at Alpha Male now, if I remember correctly.
Oh wow, okay, I get why he's a favorite, but I find anytime someone's like winless in the UFC to be like a 3-1 favorite, that's just so crazy. But again, I'm not telling people to
level
bet.
Level of competition.
I'm
just saying it's level of competition.
I know. It's not about Alan Patrick's been fighting in the UFC for a while. Alan Patrick isn't bad.
Yeah, and like Manon is older. She has like the whole story with Manon before her last fight. She doesn't have a lot of professional wins, but she fought a ton as an amateur. Like she was like an IMMAF like 2-time champ or stuff like that. So her experience at fist fighting other humans is a lot higher than her professional record shows.
Yeah, it's like Shorty Torres. He had like 35 amateur fights.
Yeah.
Montana De La Rosa, also a big favorite, minus 265, and Tom Breeze, minus 240 over Antonio Ahoyo, who's back at plus 200.
De La Rosa's some big odds.
Wow.
Right? And a lot of these fighters who are favored are coming off of losses. And again, I know we're saying, of course, level of competition, whatever, but.
Well, it's like fighters coming. I think I said this on Between the Links. There's a lot of fighters that are known to fight fans, but they're coming like it was like Zalal went like what 3-0, 4-0 in 2020 before his first loss. Mason Jones had a lot of hype. Like Montana De La Rosa had hype. Lipsky had hype. There's just a lot of fighters that had hype and then lost, and I feel like they put all of those fighters on this card.
Right.
Yeah,
there's a lot of how will they bounce back storylines in on this fight card.
Yeah,
I stand by. Like Woodson, I'm definitely standing by. Don't bet. Do not bet.
Like look at Woodson, man. Like he looked great in his debut against Kyle Bochniak, and then he looked really good against Julian Arosa until he got Darce choked at the very end of that fight. Like it was crazy.
That Bochniak.
Yeah, that's a great point.
That Bochniak fight was in Boston, right? On that Weidman Reyes card. I remember because the Nessun crew did this really fantastic profile piece on Bochniak because he has like a he had a rough life before, like, you know, he's had some dark stories, and it was really sad. And Nesson like sent a ton of people to cover his fight, and then he got smacked up, and everyone, they had no idea what to do because Kyle didn't come back to do interviews.
Yeah, I think brutal. He did. Sean Woodson back there at some point, but
he did. He walked back and spoke to Nesson, but then he didn't want to speak to anyone else because that was his last fight. And Sean Woodson was there talking about throat tattoos and everything, and his post fight scrum.
He was great.
He was telling a story. I was like, "What's your first tattoo?" And he was like, "The throat is my first tattoo." I'm like, "Damn, you went all out right away." And I was like, "Why?" He goes, "Yeah, I had to hide it from my mom." Like, "Yeah, you can't hide a throat tattoo from your mom when you're like 17 years old."
I just wore turtlenecks forever.
It says "Fear no man" on his throat, and he wanted to hide that from his mom.
What is it? Yeah, fear no man, but fear mom.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Turtlenecks everywhere. And,
what's his name? He did the pre-fight Q&A with you guys like just recently.
Mine is you can't see him, but mine is literally in the same position behind my computer on the floor on the carpet, exactly the same.
Rubella,
dude.
Rubella.
No, don't wake her up. Don't wake her up.
Shy.
Nothing. Nothing.
Shadow's out cold. Nothing. Nothing.
Rubella. Nothing.
I've been thinking about. I wore his ass out this morning. Well, long walk / run. He was he'll be snoozing for a little while.
We've been thinking about getting a dog, but dogs in apartments.
Brandon likes dogs.
Yeah,
Brandon would approve. He's got a dog right over his shoulder there.
No, that's a cat. That the dog that sits on me? Is Casey? I always get them confused.
No, that's
I can't tell.
I think it might be a cat.
Right there, that's a dog.
It's very confusing. Yeah. No, we're talking about this profile picture.
Yeah, that's Brandon and some cat.
It's a very confusing message there.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he likes dogs too.
That's Fezzik, that was barking at you. This is Rubella.
They didn't bark at me. It just sat on me.
Yeah. So it was
my spot.
They stayed over a few nights a while back, and Jose slept on the couch that Fezzik, other dog, likes to sleep on, and she did not take it. She did not take it kindly.
She didn't. She just goes, "I'm still going to sit in my spot. Whether your face is there or not is on you." I just woke up. I was like, "What's happening right now?" There's just a dog like in my eyeballs.
Dogs are fun. Who's most likely to get a submission, De La Rosa or Lipsky?
De La Rosa.
De La Rosa.
Yeah, probably. Hey, Lipsky's got some submission skills for sure. She had the nasty knee bar, which I'll never be able to block out of my mind. But if it is strictly a gunfight, I'd favor De La Rosa all the way.
Yeah.
You know, is De La Rosa a black belt? I know the last time I spoke to her, she had a brown belt. I don't know if she got elevated yet.
I'm seeing brown belt, but this is according to Wikipedia. So, you know, make of that what you will.
That. Fight of the night, Pons Baeza. All right, we're going low key. Let's go outside of that.
I don't know if that's going to be fight. That'd be my pick for a performance bonus. I don't know if that's a fight of the night in my mind, because like that has like we both agree those two men are violent and that could lead to a fight of the night. But I think the winner of that, if it's stoppage, is going to get a performance bonus rather than a fight of the night bonus.
I'll go with Woodson Zalal.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick.
Fight of the night. Am I a couple? I'll go. No, but some of these I think are going to be exciting, but I think they're going to be exciting and end like in an early finish. So that's why it's kind of defeats the whole. You know what? I'm not down on Delete Zane Stropoli. I know it's kind of in this weird spot in the card where I'm sure people are like, why, you know, not super familiar with these guys. This was supposed to be another fight, right? This was supposed to be
Delete Zane versus DeKirico.
DeKirico, right, which would have been, I think, even more exciting fight. But I like Stropoli. I think he's saying all the right things too about like, oh, I trained with Charles Oliveira. This is my time to shine. Da, da. I do think he's the kind of guy who will step up a bit in the now that he's on the main card. Third fight from the last. I mean, I know it's not like the most prestigious position, but it's good. It's a good spot to be in, I think. So I'll go with that as a potential sleeper. And I still see a lot from Delice, even though he's kind of had flashes of like. Of complacency in his fights, but I do think there's a lot of potential there for him to be an exciting fighter. So yeah, I'll throw that out there.
it's unlikely to be fight of the night, but I'm gonna go ahead and I'm just thinking positive. I'm hoping Tanner Bowser and Latifi just rules. Because that fight could be horrible, could be really bad, or could rule. I'm hoping for the best. That's all. I'm just hoping.
Yeah, Tanner Bowser is so fun to watch. You know when he's on the card, something magical can happen.
Is it either one way or the other with Latifi? I don't really recall him being in like kind of back and forth wars. I mean, am I missing? Am I forgetting?
No, you're right. His fights are pretty methodical.
Yeah, it's either a big knockout, he knocks someone nicely out, or he gets, you know. But like, it's just.
He got, he died against Ryan Bader.
Yeah.
That was like crazy. Ryan Bader killed him.
That was crazy.
We saw it, his arms literally flew in the air behind him when he got kneed in the face.
Oh yeah, he did
that. I think that was Ryan Bader's last fight in the UFC.
Yeah, he left. He left on a very big win. Yeah,
super high now.
I think he left on back to back wins. Then he knocked out Little Nog, and then knocked out Latifi back to back. Right?
Bader was a top five light heavyweight when he left. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He was maybe one fight away from a title contender,
He was in a number one contender fight. He decided to shoot. Yeah, and lazy single leg takedown in Newark.
I mean, that's Anthony Johnson too.
Yeah.
It was apparently, by the way, the other way around. It was Latifi then Nog.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
I just had to look it up.
Latifi's first four UFC wins were first round finishes.
Yep. They were smashing fools. He was on that he was on that Dublin card, right? That crazy Dublin card with Connor and Diego.
He was?
I thought he was.
I was there.
Brandon here with another 14? Confusing message. I like cinnamon rolls. Brandon, that's a cat. That's a cat in your profile. That's a cat. That's not a cinnamon roll. It's very confusing. It's really confusing, this guy. Like, maybe update your profile picture because, again, I don't need to say.
I like he just writes us things he likes. I like that.
Yeah, as you should.
I looked up Latifi's record because I couldn't remember some of his earlier fights because they kind of get all jumbled together. These are his losses, starting from most recent going down. Derek Lewis, former UFC heavyweight contender, or title challenger, probably next. Volkan Ozdemir, former UFC light heavyweight title challenger. Corey Anderson, potential Bellator light heavyweight title challenger, and he's top three light heavyweights in the UFC in terms of rankings at one point. Ryan Bader, former Bellator champ, Jan Blachowicz, current UFC champ, Gegard Mousasi in his first UFC fight on short notice. Emmanuel Newton, former Bellator champ, and Tetsuya Mizuno. And for those of you who don't remember, former deep champion. So he's only lost to champions and title challengers.
His first fight ever was against Blagoy Ivanov in 2008. It was a no contest.
Was it a Bellator champ or was he?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Who?
World Series of Fighting.
Latifi? World Series of Fighting.
But the Latifi fight, I think that was a cage broke thing. A cage breaking situation.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, that's right.
Ivanov is also the oldest looking 30 year old in the world. He's not that old.
That's not nice.
He's also been stabbed up someone had a knife all the way to the hilt, in his back. Yeah. So that man is he's a crazy man. He's 34. So Blagoy Ivanov. Matt Riddle is older than Blagoy Ivanov. Let process that.
Blagoy, if you have a name Blagoy, you're just born old. I feel he came out and he was born as a baby, he was just an old man.
Apologies to all the baby Blagoys out there, by the way. Sorry for any parents who just had a son child.
He didn't mean old, Blagoy. He meant wise.
Yeah.
Blagoy is kind of like it reminds me of like Glover to share. I just can't imagine Glover young. He's just like there's always this grizzled kind of rock of a person.
All right, we got anything else?
Anything else? Does Brandon anything else that Brandon likes? Brandon, do you like cats?
What about boxing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I read out that question from before, Casey? We don't really need to phrase it. Ooh.
Better than Michelle Waterson?
The first one that came to my mind was, of course, the dearly departed Brian Jimmo.
Brian Jimmo,
yeah.
Honor can do random man. Honor can do the splits too.
Do we know the story on Miss Moreau's and why she had
no? And I already chastised Joseph in the comments saying, Joseph, if this happened 2 days ago, it's not really breaking news anymore. So.
Breaking news on Wednesday.
He already apologized. We don't know the reason for the withdrawal.
Undisclosed. All right.
Undisclosed.
She's pulled out of a lot of fights.
Yeah.
Who is most likely in event of a win to use post-fight microphone effectively? This is the Michael Easter special, right?
Yeah,
here.
He likes it.
He loves this. Jordan Levitt.
It's possible.
No. Tanner? It's got to be Jordan Levitt, right?
No.
These are both
Tanner Boser and Jordan Levitt are guys that will have fun, quirky interviews. They're not going to use it, be like, I want this clown and I'm going to bathe in his blood and wear his face. You know, like, no one's going to do that.
Oh, well, I hope. Dude,
there's only one answer to this question. There's only one answer, and it's Walt Harris. Walt Harris wins. He will have the best post-fight stuff. And I know it's not going to be like calling out the world, but he's going to use it to the best of his abilities for, you know, the other things outside of cage fighting that he's had to deal with in his life and that he's dealing with now with Anaya's Law and all those things. Like, he will use that platform better than anybody else.
If we're talking about who's going to have a good, like, call out, I bet Francisco Trinaldo could be real angry because I feel like he's one of those guys that's constantly like, no one respects me and I've been fighting for 40 years. So maybe something like that.
Okay. It could be. It very well could be.
He's on a 3-fight win. Like, Francisco Trinaldo has been fighting forever in the UFC. He's on a 4-fight win streak. He's very talented,
and he's a 2-1 underdog.
And now we get welterweight Trinaldo.
He's been in the UFC for 10 years.
Came in 169 and a half this morning. So easy make for him this time.
And he definitely, if the judges were competent in Texas and scored it correctly, he would be on a 5-fight win streak after he beat Alexander Hernandez.
Yes.
Let's move on to Sunday.
Yeah, let's do it. Maybe I have no idea.
A decent amount of thoughts. Of course. I mean, we're going to see former New England Patriots star Chad Johnson in the boxing ring.
I mean, that I know about, but.
Who's he facing?
He's fighting a bare knuckle guy.
Ryan Maxwell. He's done other stuff too, apparently. Like, I think he's done a little bit of everything. He's kind of a journeyman, but I think most recently, like, he's been doing bare knuckle. Yeah.
I was watching our former colleague Luke Thomas on the Showtime Media Day because he was one of the hosts when he was like sweating profusely at the Versace Theater.
He looked good in that robe, though.
You can't not look good when you're wearing a Versace robe, especially when it's free. In the Versace Mansion, no less. And he was kind of breaking down Brian Maxwell's career, and I didn't really know anything about him, but this is not an easy fight for a celebrity to take. In a boxing match, like, this guy has actual professional, like, fighting, he's had fights that people have, like, paid to watch, and Chad Johnson is not. So
did you hear Chad Johnson at the press conference today?
No, I did not.
Someone asked, like, you know, usually so confident and cocky, but ahead of this boxing, you know, your boxing debut, you've been really humble. And he's like, yeah, I've been humble. He's like, I have no idea what I'm doing. He's like, I'm completely out of my element. He's like, when you're doing something you've done your whole life, yeah, you bring that. He's like, you bring that big energy, you bring that, you know, that confidence that I'm always bringing. But he's like, this guy is like coming to take my head off. Like, I'm just trying not to get hurt. So, like, he was very pragmatic with his answers today. He was very like, look, I know how this looks, and I'm as worried about my health as you are. I could really get hurt here.
Chad Thompson was asking questions of the media.
Chad Johnson was, he was in Jacksonville. He was also at the Vegas card. Casey, he asked a question at the McGregor Cowboy.
Press conference. Yeah.
He asked Masvidal a question because he was going to put up like, what, $10,000 on Masvidal to win. And then he lost. And he looked like someone killed his dog backstage of the media room. He looked so sad when Jorge Masvidal lost. He was just sitting there in the media room with his arms folded, looking down, shaking his head. It was not a great look.
So he was a media member just openly placing bets.
I think he was like, it's like when Steve-O was at the media room and he asked questions. Oh, okay. He was just kind of a guy in the back.
So does Chad Thompson, does he count as a media member taking a fight? Does this meet the Cub Swanson special?
Mike Jackson already did that.
Oh,
he's one and one in the UFC.
Yeah.
We're still waiting for that third fight.
Danny Downs fought too, so he did stuff with Junkie forever.
No, oh, he has all the credibility.
Yeah. WEC vet.
Yep.
Yeah, the undercards. I mean, Badu Jack's there. I know he's got a new opponent.
What's Badu Jack's? What are the odds in that fight? -3,000 Badu Jack? Like it should be.
Close. I think higher than the main event. I think higher than the
Mayweather. I don't know if there is odds on the main event though, since it's an exhibition match.
Yeah, they don't make odds for exhibitions.
Badu Jack.
You're not allowed to bet on most exhibitions. I'm sure people sneakily do it, but like if you remember for the Tyson Roy Jones fight, you weren't allowed to place bets on most like sports books. And people were up in arms.
There's no official winner. That's the thing. So I get it.
Yeah. Right. Well, exactly. there are knockouts in this fight.
There will be knockouts, and it'll be up to the referee's discretion. So if Floyd Mayweather just like max him up for a bit, we could see like an Overeem Badahari finish where he's just kind of loose on the ground.
More money has come in on Badu Jack. I looked it up and then I refreshed it. It went from -2,500 to -4,050 for Badu Jack.
100%. Because Badu Jack is really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Badu Jack is really, really good boxer.
He's got a cool name.
And then,
well, look, William Hill has laid out odds for the main event. Because this is what I saw, and another thing, sorry, Casey, to break protocol here, but someone was asking about the odds in the YouTube comments. Floyd Mayweather is only like a -900 favorite, which sounds insane. He should be a -9 million favorite, but
should he?
As Jose just said, well, here's what Jose just said. As Jose just said before. This fight is probably most likely to end in a draw because there will be no judges. I think there's a very good chance that that Floyd just F's around for, was it 8 rounds? Is it eight rounds?
Yeah.
I think his attitude going into this fight has not been, man, I really want to take this kid's head off. He's just laughing and like, oh, this is hilarious. Like, this is going to be fun. And this is just a way for me to enjoy my retirement and get paid like $50 million. And I'm not even an active boxer anymore. So there's a very good chance he just puts on a show for everyone and just clowns Logan Paul for 8 rounds. And then it goes to a draw or whatever it's called, no decision.
And imagine living in a world where kids have to point out that Logan Paul and Manny Pacquiao went a decision with Floyd Mayweather.
But I mean, the whole point, the thing with the why would you not bet on Mayweather to win is because, again, he has to knock him out to win. That's the only way I think you get paid if you bet on a Mayweather
knockout
win.
And an individual who's about 20 years younger and about 40 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
And it's an exhibition. He's not
gonna,
going
it's
in
gonna to be, kill it's, this it's guy. Gonna be super exciting to watch if Mayweather actually does start like really start piecing Logan up. Because because what Jose said. 20 years younger, 40 pounds lighter, and what, at least maybe a 8-9 inches
it's
shorter.
Unbelievable. It's unreal.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
It's gonna be fun to watch.
Logan Paul needs and his team need to do one thing, and that's land like one punch. Like if he lands one clean punch, I'm not saying to knock him out, but land one punch and then just NFT that and make a ton of money.
I this genuinely sounds a lot like when believe
Connor landed one uppercut. We got it. We did it, guys. We landed one exactly. shot.
And won some rounds. I genuinely believe Mayweather could knock him out in the first 2 rounds if he wanted to. I don't think he's going to want to do that. I think he's going to want to put on a show for Showtime. He's an entertainer now.
He's going to carry him. He's going to carry him.
He's going to carry him. Yeah, he's not going to knock him. I really will be surprised if he knocks him out. So I would say do not bet on a Mayweather win because it's probably going to go draw. It probably ends in a draw. A no judges draw, which I would call a no contest in this case. I would think,
like, you know how in almost any, not really baseball, but like where you have to like go up against someone. So like tennis, boxing, MMA, even I'll put soccer in that category because you have a lot of like one-on-one kind of interactions with other people. Anytime there's someone that's a professional that trains to go up against professionals and all of a sudden you throw an amateur in there and they just do everything wrong, you're like, what the? Like, I don't know what, like, what do I do with this man? Like, he's throwing punches that a professional athlete should not throw. So I hope something crazy like that happens where Logan Paul just looks so ridiculous that Floyd Mayweather's like, what do I do with this man right now? He just kind of circles around for a bit. I think it'd be hilarious.
There are prop bets as well.
Of course there are. Of course there are prop bets.
A first fighter to bleed prop. Logan Paul minus 600.
See, these are fun to bet on. These, forget picking a winner or whatever.
All right, so minus 700 for no, plus 400 for yes. Jake Paul will join the broadcast crew during the main event.
What's the odds again?
Minus 700, he will not. Plus 400, he will.
Oh, he definitely
I'd be shocked if he wasn't. He's probably in the corner.
This is a trailer.
But it's an exhibition fight.
This is Showtime, so I don't
this
know.
This is Showtime.
Don't remind me, Casey.
Mayweather might not want him. Because there were talks that Jake wouldn't even be allowed in the building.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So that's a good
line. Clearly they know something. Yeah, exactly. I have not been keeping up with all the, like, how much Jake Paul can be involved in this show. So obviously that the plus 400 probably makes some sense. Actually, I shouldn't say it such a with such surety that it's going to happen.
There's some funny ones obviously. Here.
He's obviously knee deep in training camp. Why would he be on the broadcast?
You can bet on whether one guy or both gentlemen will wear a hood over their head during the lockout.
That's
one or both. And those are all different odds.
Floyd's not really a hood guy. He usually has like a hat or a mask. No.
That's what when Floyd fought Connor.
He wore a ski mask.
No, he had it was like a black hood
and I'm pretty sure it was a ski mask.
Because the whole thing, he was a bank robber.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was a hood, but whatever.
I know he wore
the black archives.
There's such weird props on this.
He wore a hat and a hood and a mask. He had three things on.
Wow. Trifecta.
Halloween.
Which boxing slash fight cliched term will be used first by the broadcast team? 50-0, YouTube, Conor McGregor, or Rope-a-Dope?
YouTube. Which one will be used first?
YouTube first.
Wait, no. Which one? Who makes their entrance first? Logan, right? Yeah. They're gonna say YouTube star.
Yeah.
+150 is the odd on that. Odds on that. Mm-hmm.
I'll go YouTube first.
Or if they like swirl in like, we're here live from the Hard Rock Stadium where 50-0 Floyd Mayweather, you know, because he's the A side. But you got to think about how the broadcast will operate, I guess.
Well, maybe if we're talking during the fight.
I think Mike broke.
Oh yeah.
He might be frozen.
I thought he was really invested in these odds.
I was like, he's really deep in the room. I'll say, Casey, I wish you hadn't reminded me that this is show. Oh, Mike, you're back. You're back, Mike.
I'm back. I'm sorry. My apologies.
You're back. No worries. I was gonna say, Casey reminded me this is on Showtime, not Triller, which bummed me out. I just, in my head, I'll be hearing after like a fight's over, and now the Black Keys, and they're just never going to show up, and it's really going to make me sad.
Dude, there's no slap fights.
Rick Flair, Urkel.
I don't care if there's ever
is Billy White going to be there like that.
I don't care if there's a Triller like that ever again. I was over it after that happened.
That was surreal.
I don't need a man who's clearly on all kinds of substance screaming into the microphone during a boxing match.
That's why me and Jose are just different people
because that's all I want.
Let me rephrase. I don't need a man who's had substance abuse problems on substances. That was sad.
That part wasn't fun.
All right, we'll do two more quick ones.
All right,
will the fighters touch? I meant for props. What?
Okay.
Will the fighters touch gloves before the opening bell? No is at minus 175. Yes, plus 135.
Wait, when they come to the middle, when the ref kind of does the last instructions?
Will they touch gloves?
I think they'll touch gloves. I think so too. I think they will.
Yeah. Yes should be favored.
I'm going to say no because Floyd Mayweather has said he's doing this for Japan. So he's not going to touch gloves.
that video. Wow, what a man of honor.
And maybe the most interesting prop of all, will the fight go the scheduled distance? You might be surprised. Minus 310 for no, plus 205 for yes. So if we're betting draw, we're going all over this line, aren't we? Plus 205, that goes the distance.
I like how they will it end in the third round. It goes, will this reach the judges' scores? That's how they skirt the rules of betting on an exhibition match.
Will it go the scheduled distance? I don't see a draw prop anywhere. I think they learned their lesson from the Tyson Jones one because everyone watched that preview show and they threw all their money on the draw and they cleaned them up and they cleaned up. So there you go.
Vote. Where's the fan
that's
vote?
Sunday.
The fight should be decided by fan voting. Come on, Showtime. Innovate here.
All right.
Are we good? Do we got any more? Gone an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
What's a barrel roll as far out besides if you're not in an airplane?
Yeah, Google it, man.
Is this a sex thing? I don't have my safe search. I don't have that.
What are you saying?
I don't have my safe search on. Am I allowed to, if I Google this, what am I going to see? What am I going to see if I Google barrel roll?
It's just
safe search on? Should I turn? I'll turn safe search on first.
Is this a sex thing?
I don't know who this guy is.
Most
the YouTube commenter.
I'll fill you in. In most video things, when people say do a barrel roll, it's their camera does a big swirl. So, but you're locked in, so it looks like you're
spinning. No.
Yeah, you can't. Casey would have to do it.
Yeah.
If it's Casey would have to make it spin in a circle.
Go ahead, Casey. Barrel roll me if you can.
We're good.
I don't know if we can do. Man.
Is this a sex thing?
Like if you go to google.com and type in do a barrel roll and hit I'm feeling lucky, it's one of their Easter eggs where your whole web browser will whoosh, like spin around in a circle.
I could do that right now.
Yeah. Go to google.com. Don't use the search engine in your Chrome or anything. Go to google.com, type do a barrel roll, and hit I'm feeling lucky.
Didn't work. Yes, it did. Oh, that was crazy.
Told you.
That was a riveting. I should have shared my screen first. That was a riveting.
The most famous barrel roll in MMA is type in Chael Sonnen barrel roll, and he did it when he fought Anderson Silva.
I think Brock Lesnar's is more outrageous.
Yeah.
Because he's like a 265-pound man, like breakdancing on the canvas.
Oh, remember that disco gift someone made?
I did. Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay.
Anyway, we've gone really long.
But. Real quick.
Will we get any more mixed martial arts content from the MMA fighting crew?
Mixed martial arts content, Mike.
Look who woke up. Hey, Rebella.
I think Shiloh's eye open. Let me see if we could turn around here. Where is he?
Casey, who is your... I don't know who...
There he is,
I don't know how up to date you are on who has dogs, but who would be your number one... that you and Esther have not had the chance to profile before.
Well, hold on. We got. We're looking at
Come here, buddy.
New doggy.
Who's the guy's name?
Shiloh.
What a dog name.
He's gone under the desk, so we've lost him.
Yeah.
We've lost him. He's gone.
That's the first time I think we've gotten a reveal of what's in front of Mr. Heck.
Ooh.
I've never.
Right.
Movie just magic.
A narrow hallway and a treadmill. No one has any,
you guys have no idea what's this way. It's just magic this way, but you only get to see this way. Yeah.
You see 11 centimeters of my basement.
Casey, who would it be? Who's the dream dog?
At least in California on June 15th, which is less than 2 weeks, everything's going to be officially open. I'm double vaxxed, so the plan is for me to do a mixed martial art. I'm going to go down to San Diego, and I'm going to do one with Alima. And she's adopting a bunch of new doggies right now. She's fostering a bunch of new doggies. And before the pandemic, well, right when the pandemic happened, she had one of her dog named Kobe, and Kobe passed away, and we were planning to do one before that. So it'll be cool. I'm excited about it. And Angela Hill has a new doggy, so I think I'm just going to hit San Diego, go to a bunch of gyms, and go, don't punch each other, just show me your dogs. So that's going to be
Aspen Ladd would be the best one.
I want to do, too.
It was the best. Jesse Jess has a bunch of dogs, too, up in NorCal.
So
answer to this question, yes.
Yes,
indeed. I'm pretty sure there will be more. Izzy's a big pet person.
That was the plan before. That was the plan. After the Romero fight. Was that the last fight before the pandemic?
Yeah, that was the last fight.
Me and Esther were talking to Izzy's people about trying to work out a trip to New Zealand and do a bunch of stuff down there. But then, viruses.
That was all of us, Casey. Yeah. When you heard the, yeah. Oh.
Yep. We got some coming. I'm excited about it.
Rob Font would be a good one too. Remember, he brought his dogs to media day.
Oh yeah. And who also brings her dog to media day? Jessica I. Remember?
And Vitor Belfort.
Vitor.
He brought his German Shepherd and was saying the most ridiculous things. That was for the Manchester card, and he was like, "Yeah, I wish England had colonized Brazil." I'm like, "Why are you saying that?
That's weird.
Like, what are you talking about,
dude? Do some research. I don't think you understand what colonization really means. It's a lot of slavery, a lot of murder and torture. But sure,
Vitor Belfort, pro boxer, will be boxing on the upcoming June 19th Triller card. So there you go.
Vitor Belfort, one championship fighter who never fought for one. We did a freaking interview him with the one banner. Yep. He never fought for one. I don't get it.
Yeah, he did quite a few interviews.
He was supposed to fight that huge muscly guy. Arnold Gamma Cruz did an interview where he's like, yeah, and Arnold Gamma Cruz did interviews with him previewing that fight. That never happened.
Yep. Never.
Yeah, yeah. I spoke to Vitor for. We did a lot of interviews with Vitor for no actual one fight. But
you see that boxing, video? You see that video of him and his opponent getting into it in the gym?
Yeah.
Amazing, yeah. Man. I tell you, you hate to see that kind of real life conflict caught on camera. It's really ugly.
I like our Guillermo tweeted: Vitor Belfort left the UFC 3 years ago, has since unretired, and called out Wanderlei Silva, Chael Sonnen, Anderson Silva, Yoel Romero, Fedor Emelianenko, Brock Lesnar, Evander Holyfield, Oscar De La Hoya, Roy Jones Jr., Chris Jericho, and Jake Paul. He also signed with one championship and never fought there. Now Vitor will box, quote, the real Tarzan.
The real Tarzan with two N's. I assume so he could trademark it. I believe Tarzan is the actual Tarzan name is, what do they call it? Fair use when anyone can use it, like the rights are not owned by anyone.
Couldn't tell you. Couldn't tell you.
I think they can't copyright it. Anyway, but yes, he will be boxing. So that's exciting. And if you haven't seen the video, guys, check out our article on it, MMAfight.com, about the fight announcement. I wrote it. And let's just say I used some language to kind of question the authenticity of the video while still trying to stay objective.
Flim-flam? Did you use that word?
I did not. It was that was in the first draft.
Ah. Flim-flam. Is that a sex thing?
Flim-flam. Because that is what that was.
Could be. In Canada it is.
We got to get out of here. Good Lord. This thing is all over the place. Who had an hour and 22 minutes on UFC Vegas 28? I didn't, but here we are.
Mayweather Paul.
And barrel roll. That's right.
And if you liked this, we'll see you tomorrow at 3:30 Eastern, 30 minutes before UFC Vegas 28, and we'll just answer all your questions for 30 minutes before this thing all begins. So for AK, for Casey, for Jose, I am Mike Heck. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.